You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
PackersTalk.com.
Holding call against Josh Sitton early in the game was almost comical.
He admitted that play got him a little winded.
You know, Brian Grant had a great first half, and of course, he had played.
Like, oh, great, we're really scraping the bottom of the barrel, but you know what, he really wasn't that bad.
They're doing it with a practice squad player, a senior citizen, and a dude that had zero faith in 2 weeks ago.
Said hopefully that when he leaked into the stands, nobody thought he was shorter than they thought he was.
Out of the pocket.
How you like me now?
Pocket Doppler Angels from PocketDoppler.com. Welcome to Out of the Pocket. We're here to talk about Packers football. Before we get going, though, I'm happy to announce that we now have a third wheel, I guess. Lord help us all. The ever-famous Richard Chang is joining us as a third host. He is the webmaster and blogger at Dick'sFavorite.com and also the despotic dictator, Commissioner of the DCGB Fantasy Football League, the only fantasy football league run like a small, corrupt South American nation.
Hi, ladies.
We're glad to have you, Richard.
I hope that I can live up to that introduction. That was nice.
Hey, nothing like sucking up to the new host.
Yeah. Right. Just remember that you're a co-host. You're not the host, okay?
Yeah, you're not taking over.
Right, because I saw a little discussion about that. And,
did you like my little parenthetical statement in Colleen's post?
Yeah, I saw that, Richard. I saw what you were doing there. Just remember, coos are only for fantasy football, and you're going down like a cheap lady of the evening with knee pads on in the fantasy football.
Oh my gosh, terrible! I'm gonna get. I'm winning by like 5 points right now, but Kel has Chris Johnson, so I'm probably gonna lose by 50.
I don't ever want to play in a league with Kel anymore because she...
Does she dominate?
Oh, yeah, because I'm playing in one that Talich has, and yeah, it's like, and I, well, of course, you and Talich both had stupid drafts, so it's all your guys' fault, it's not mine.
Who has an auction draft? Seriously, it's like you sit there for 6 hours.
Richard does.
You mean women-proof drafts? Women-proof drafts?
No. I'm not, it's not only girls that have complained about this, sir.
You end up bidding over trash, and what do I get stuck with? Stafford. No, it wasn't even just a auction draft. It was an auction and keeper draft. So I wasn't last year. It's like, oh, here, you guys could have Stafford or Russell Wilson or...
Hey, how about... Well, Russell Wilson would have been okay, as it turned out.
Jake Locker for a choice.
Oh.
Yeah, those are all bad.
Yeah, thank you, Richard.
But people aren't scoring a lot of points with their quarterbacks in our league anyway, the way that point system...
You waited it
because you also screwed up the points.
No, I didn't screw them up. I did that intentionally.
I know you did, which means you screwed them up.
You had cheater pants points.
Cheater pants? He wanted to win, and he's not going to.
Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Someone outright cheats and screws you out of points. Well, anyway... Excellent. Directing us back to the football game, it was Bears Day.
Bears Week.
The only thing better is Christmas, and it just happened to fall the week before Christmas. So, 21-13, is that correct? No. I don't even remember the score. I'm so tired.
I don't remember either. Well, it was a morning game.
It was 21 points for the Packers. It should have been... 21 to not as many points, but the Packers are awful
fans. It was, let me look, CD's going to be editing this out going, God, you guys. Yeah, so it was 21-13.
Yeah, 21-13, because they won by 8.
Right.
They won by 8. And it should, like I said, it should have been by more points, but we decided to get really smart on punt returns.
Yeah, what's that about?
Oh, Lord.
Coach said he called it. He says,
the punt, the fake punt. Oh my gosh!
It was the dumbest punt return in the history of ever. This is
fake punt.
It boggles my mind, the stupidity of it. We were up by a bunch of
8 points.
Yeah, you know, we were up by more than 8 points at that point,
and
we let them back in on something just utterly stupid and cute. This was a play that we used to run when I was 8 years old in my friend Phil's backyard. And you know what? It didn't even work when we were, for 8-year-olds. It's a dumb play.
Who did they throw it to? Who was that?
Cobb was throwing it to somebody who has never caught the ball before, who I did not even realize existed.
Matt Flynn.
Yeah, the used to be Matt Flynn. I don't know who the guy is. He's never actually been in on a play before, which was duly noted after he didn't catch the ball. Of course, Randall didn't throw it very well because the whole stupid thing fell apart.
Right.
Yeah, I
didn't think that I had ever seen him before. I mean, we all follow the Packers pretty closely. I'm like, who the hell is this guy?
Yeah.
Why on earth, if you're up by at least 2 touchdowns, you do something that asinine with that much time left?
Well, do you think that the crap talking got the best of our pride a little bit? Because there was a few times where Tremont was alone on Marshall, and then the coach doing that thing that was, you know, totally unnecessary given the points and situation and everything. Do you think they just wanted to kind of poke the Bears in the eye because of all the talking this week?
That's a really good point. And one of the things I love about McCarthy, but I hated about that play call, is he'll sit there all day long and pretend to be this politically correct, totally upstanding, no temper. The man's Irish. I'm Irish. He's Irish. He has got a temper
from hell.
Yeah, I'm Irish.
Yeah, see? There you go. Temper from hell.
Yeah, I'm
and
Irish.
You cannot...
I read Angel's Ashes when I was in 7th grade.
You cannot tell me that part of that wasn't McCarthy going, blank you.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
But sometimes you have to control that.
Look at the track record with the Packers-Bears game. Back in the 90s, it was the Bears running all the trick plays against us. Go back to the earlier in the season, and it was that brilliant fake field goal going to Tom Crabtree that was against the Bears.
And that's my point, that I love it when they make calls like that. This one was stupid. That one was great. Yeah. This one made no sense.
Well, that might be the other thing. It might be a real reason, not just an FU, but he might figure, given their history, that the Bears are going to get a turnover somewhere in the game, so he wants to steal a possession, and maybe he wants to steal a possession through special teams.
But he wanted to spot them a possession? What?
No, but if it would have worked, you know, he wouldn't have been spotting them a possession.
Yeah, if it had worked.
Yeah. That was the other thing. The field position was pretty bad. It was a pretty bad decision. But it was almost as bad as that Jets game a couple years ago. Do you remember when the punter took off from like his own 1-yard line trying to get a 20-yard first down? Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the only thing I've seen worse on special teams.
Well, the thing is with trick plays, they look absolutely brilliant when they're executed, but when they fall apart and go pear-shaped, it's like you really question, what the hell were you thinking?
Well, but like Richard said, it all is dependent on where you're at on the field, because part of the problem with me is where they did it at. Not only that we were up as much as we were, but that the fact that they chose, that Mike chose to run that where he did, it made no sense. And he took the blame for it in his presser. I'll say that for him. He said that was a bad decision, and he's right. It was.
Now, think back to the Patriots game 2 years ago, had it not worked, that, you know, announce your presence of authority starting the game with an onside kick, we'd probably be criticizing the same thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing. Coach shows a lot of balls on special teams doing kick returns and onside kicks and stuff like that, too. So,
but I worry that we do it enough times that people are going to catch on, and I think they are, that you're going to start getting diminishing returns with trick plays.
Yeah, but is that like an inside baseball thing though? If they're worried about all the tricks, then aren't they hesitant and can't our coverage get down there faster and then ultimately win the field position battle that way?
Yeah, you have to keep it balanced. I mean, that's the thing. They can't run too many of these cute little plays or people will be totally watching out for them. The one today was just really poorly executed.
Well, and psychologically, players like them. So, you know, it's the end. It's the end of the season. You know, you get their juices going a little bit, practicing stuff like this and implementing it in the game. You know,
nothing made me happier than watching Crabtree get that pass from Masthay and run for a touchdown.
Yeah.
This year, that remains my favorite play of the year because it was so much fun.
And because I'm so superstitious and have not seen a field goal attempt since 1996. I missed the play, and I was at Lambeau. My husband's like, take your shirt, your head out of your sweatshirt and take a walk.
You know, Kelly, from now on, you should probably just go ahead and watch, because that kind of leads us into Mr. Crosby, who can't make a field goal to save his life.
Oh, my God. On that
it doesn't matter if you watch or not.
Oh, my God. On that second attempt, I was really hoping that was going to line up and it was going to be a trick play and we were going to run it in. But no, he shanks it off of the pole. Discount double shank.
Well, that's a perfect segue, actually, because we were just talking about field position. Is Coach, should we just call him Les now, or Mike Miles McCarthy? Are we going to be a four down team now? Is that going to be his thing? No punts, no field goals.
I'll tell you what, I thought it was interesting that he really got to the point. You could tell that he was not going to go for it, or he was going to go for it on fourth down. He was not going to have Mason kick.
Yeah.
He tried a couple times, and, you know, and God bless him, because he was like, you know, maybe we can get this kid back in his head. The kid is out of his head. The kid is not going to get back in his head anytime soon. I love Mason Crosby. He's a great guy. But I think he needs to go.
They got
to
cut him.
Yeah, I think they need to cut him. And
but
you know, they're not. No,
McCarthy,
I know.
But they should.
Hey, Mason, 877-596-0069. If not now, sometime in March, you may need that number. And apparently, Mayflower will pack up your house in a day and ship you anywhere in the country. You know, I love you, buddy, but it's just a heads up that you might want that number.
Yeah. We need to be done with him. And like I said, I really like him. I like the fact he tackles. I like the fact that he Massey tackled.
Yeah,
tonight.
Massey got a tackle today.
Massey didn't have a tackle. He had just a punishing hit.
Yeah, I like kickers that tackle. They just enthrall me because they're so football players as opposed to being specialists. But I feel bad for Mason. I feel bad for the Packers. I feel bad for us having to watch him miss. The thing I thought was really telling is nobody after the second miss went over and talked to him. Nobody. Mike didn't. Slocum didn't. Nobody.
Well, they didn't
he
want
sat
to
there alone.
Of the day.
It's Fox Sports did such a great job at the football version of dog shaming. It's like any opportunity, you know, Rocky Sax Cutler, they show Mason Crosby pumping on the scene on the sidelines, like, ooh, dog shaming. You know, it's kicker shaming.
Oh, Mike Florio's on my TV. That's ugly.
Yeah, but but he's crap, and he's not making field goals. Like
he's not, and that's his job. That's his job.
You know what I want people to ask? No, I don't feel. I feel like I listen to the press conference, and sometimes I can't hear the questions very well, and coach doesn't answer the questions as they're asked anyway. A lot of the time, but did anybody ask how often they're practicing outdoors? Is this part of the problem that they're practicing in the Hudson Center all the time, and he's not kicking with like the grass and the wind and the cold?
I don't know that they ask that, but usually because Mike has several press conferences a week, I know they talk about. He'll say we're practicing outside, we're practicing inside. I haven't tracked what he said about that.
Yeah, you
want to
know
point.
Why you don't track it? Because he never says we're practicing outside.
No, he does sometimes.
No, the few times I've heard, he goes, "Yeah, we started our jog through outdoors, and then it got too cold, so we went inside." And then like during the playoffs last year, I think they practiced indoors, but he said they opened the doors of the Hudson Center, so it got a little chilly inside, and that was the same as outdoors when it wasn't. And then they lost.
Well, that's why we need to be on the field for the playoff, or on the road for the playoffs, isn't it?
Credit, I think he did the doors open on a very windy day to kind of simulate some of the swirling around in a stadium.
Yeah, well, it's not simulating anything because they say that he is kicking great in practice and he hits great in practice and he goes out and when he goes out,
and then he can't hit it.
So,
but if it's a headspace problem, it doesn't matter if you're kicking underwater; it's not going to help.
And I will say, CD Angeli, who I totally think is a wonderful human being, he keeps saying this is a technical problem, and I think there's some aspect of technical problem to it, but let me tell you, this is in his head. It's in his head.
Yeah.
The guy does not think he can make a field goal. And once you think you can't do it, you can't do it.
And honestly, going for it on fourth and whatever at this point is, it's not bad policy, because if you miss it, you don't connect and get that first down. Does it really matter if you turn over on downs, whether it's that way or makes it
right.
Crosby hitting the upright?
Yeah.
Either way, they're going to get possession right where you were anyhow. So I think it's an acceptable risk at this point.
Right, and the Packers made fourth down conversions. So
twice at that.
Yeah. So, yeah, totally acceptable. But before we get to the playoffs, as someone said to me today, we have got to have a kicker.
Out there? Everyone keeps talking about Nate Kading, but he's got like a 68-year-old groin and a reconstructed knee.
If he can hit it from 35, Kelly, I'll take him.
Dude,
I'm not even sure Mason can do that anymore.
Bring David Beckham in. I'm sure that him and Aaron Rodgers and Clint all go to the same club. He just quit the LA Galaxy. He's on the street. David Beckham,
yeah.
Dude.
Okay. Toe balling aside.
Bend it like Beckham. I like it.
Okay, seriously, if he went down or got shipped to Guam, who would replace Crosby that we have? Is it Mathieu that would be kicking field goals? Or I heard Cobb can kick too. I don't know if that's true or not.
If we did not bring in somebody from outside, it would be Mathieu. That's my understanding.
By the way, it would make my husband's entire year, because he is absolutely convinced that the kicker and the punter are the same position.
Absolutely. But, you know, at this point, and I'm not a fan of the guy, I take Ryan Longwell. I don't care. I want somebody who, at least at 40 yards, you're going to go, hey, he's got a 75% shot at this. I don't trust Mason has any shot at it anymore. It's in his head.
And I was in his corner up until this game.
You know, me too. I love
him. He had a decent game last Sunday night. Yeah, he missed one, but he hit two. But you're going out and you're batting zero? You know, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, the other thing is why, I guess besides the fact that there really isn't anybody out on the street that we know, although somebody just picked up somebody off the street. He wasn't a veteran from another team that got released or anything. He's a total nobody free agent.
Chicago.
It was Chicago.
Oh, yeah, it was Chicago. It was the team we just
played. And he did just fine.
Yeah, but if you know what, he hit like a 30-yarder, and it looked like it just barely went the distance.
But it went.
Yeah, but it
right?
went. But it was good. It went in. That's the point. That's,
you know,
that's
at
we
this
want.
Point, I would be happy with Mathieu trying to drop kick. Let's go.
Are you allowed to do that?
Yeah, you can. It's totally a rule. Remember, they tried it in the Pro Bowl. I think it was Drew Brees and failed horribly.
Oh, I didn't.
But it's legal.
It's legal. Yeah. I think at this point we have a better chance of Mathieu kicking a drop kick.
Why are you guys acting like every fat 13-year-old in America hasn't played soccer for 10 years? You can get a kid out there Monday through Friday and teach him how to kick a freaking 35-yard field goal. Like, anybody can do it. Do some leg stretches. And
Richard, my son is not fat, just so you know. I have a 13-year-old, but he's not fat. and yes, he could probably kick better than Mason Crosby right now.
Introducing the new field goal kicker for the Green Bay Packers,
Roddy Brenton.
Russ Richard Chase.
Seriously, give me some 5-hour energy drinks and a Monday through Friday practice schedule and go out there and kick. I mean, when they've done interviews with Mason, like, oh, did you kick this week? And he goes, yeah, on Wednesday I went out there for about 25, 30 minutes, and, we did some work and blah, blah, blah. I did some leg stretches. It's like, you get paid millions of dollars. You should be kicking, like, 8 hours a day.
Wait a second. He's talking about 25 minutes a day? Hold on. What?
There's some theory to that. Don't you be getting on him because of that. That's not his decision. That's a coaching decision.
What? Listen, I played like recreational golf, and I get a little net in my backyard. You know, I was like 10 years old, and I'd go and I would chip, and I would just chip and chip and chip and chip and chip for hours. You're telling me a professional athlete, if his coach is telling him, oh, limiting him in practice, he can't go home and kick into a net, but an 11-year-old golfer can do it? give me a...
Maybe that's not good for him. We don't know. We're not coaches.
You know what's not good for him? Everything that he's doing right now, because he sucks.
I agree that he is sucking majorly bad.
You know what he would do if he was a baseball player? This is like the one good thing that baseball players do when they're in slumps like this.
They go to some small minor league team down south.
No, they go to their local watering hole, the seediest meat market in town, or town over, hopefully, and they just find the biggest, fattest, ugliest, greasiest-haired chick. They buy her a couple of Jack Daniels, and they slump bust, dude. They bust that slump right out of them.
You have watched Bull Durham too many times. That's all I'm saying.
Meanwhile, Chang is breathing through his eyelids.
You have watched way
He's
too much
breathing
Bull Durham.
Through his eyelids.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my goodness.
So what about that Jay Cutler dude? We love him.
The dude from Chicago?
Yeah.
Oh, he was in perfect form. It was the end of the first quarter. He was already throwing paper cups, having a hissy fit.
Yep, yep.
Well, he got a little owie in his neck also. Did you see that?
Or he had an owie. He had that from last week.
He couldn't decide what was hurt. It's like every time he turned and pointed him at the sidelines, he was like rubbing something else that hurt. Like, okay, I guess you can't massage your pride. Jeez.
Yeah, you can't massage your pride.
Hey,
exactly.
But what's up with your boy from Wisconsin? Everybody's talking about how much he sucked all year, and he started but out of position this game, right? And then they benched him, and then somebody got hurt, and they had to bring him back in. What's up with that kid?
Oh, Karimi?
Yeah.
Yeah, he sucks.
He's no good? Everybody wanted him to be a Packer.
You know, he was one or two picks away from being a Packer at that.
Yeah.
But
I think
he
would be better if he was a Packer.
But did we win out? No, we had Sherrod, who is not effective either.
No, well, who can't play.
Who,
broken
baby,
leg.
Baby leg?
Yeah. Broken leg.
But yeah,
that's not going to grow back, right? He's going to have like one shriveled leg and one regular leg, right?
That's my opinion.
Well, I think Creamy's two issues. I think, one, he thrived under the coach last year at Wisconsin. And let's face it, the offensive line coach really is not that effective for the Bears. And also, I think going into the draft, he got overhyped, where suddenly he became larger than life. Not quite on par with a Tony Mandarich or a Brian Bosworth, but enough where he would never live up to expectations.
Well, do you think that he got drafted in his position? He got drafted on the reputation of that line? Because that line last year was really good for the Badgers, right? Or was that a couple years ago?
I think so. Yeah. It was the reputation of the line as a whole, not as an individual. Yeah, he was good.
Yep.
And this is the same draft class from Wisconsin that gave you people like J.J. Watt, where J.J. Watt, I think, has exceeded expectations, whereas Karimi...
Right. That's not.
Like I said, I think it's a combination of downgrading from a coaching standpoint, and also just the hype of pre-draft.
Yeah, I still hear J.J. Watt little commercials on WAUK. I think he does like little blurbs for like Homer, I think, or something.
As long as J.J. Watt doesn't do the belt, I like him. As long as he doesn't do the belt in the Packers.
Well,
game, let's put it that way.
What would be worse, J.J. Watt doing the belt or Clay Matthews doing the Magic Mike dance one more time on National
Oh, Park? That was just skeezy to end all skeezy. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, y'all have no appreciation. I mean, come on. That is a very good-looking man doing a dance. I was surprised because I was like, oh, he's not doing beast mode. And I looked at it, and I went, yeah, I don't mind that either.
Yeah,
so,
but who is going to be the one that's going to put a dollar in his G-string? Cutler? Yuck.
Me. I would do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, meanwhile, what was he doing during his time when he was healing up his hammy? Moonlighting as a male stripper?
Yeah.
Apparently. I think he was watching Magic Mike at the very least.
That's funny.
It was really unexpected. It was funny.
That cracked me up. I was like, what are you doing? Oh, well, actually, that doesn't bother me too much.
He was funny with just enough skeeziness to make you go, what?
Women do not like men that dance. That is so false. That's not true,
what?
Is it?
No, it is true. I like men that dance.
You like a dude going out on the dance floor and rocking the moves? You do not
well,
like that.
Well, not like a Chippendales, but a guy that would dance with me, yes, I like that.
But, yeah, but you're talking about like two-stepping and cheek-to-cheek.
No, I am not talking about two-stepping.
You want some guy doing like the John Travolta and...
No.
Nice.
You're way too young. Kelly knows what I mean. If you get a guy that'll actually go out and dance with you, like Kelly and I probably danced when we were in school, which is opposed to whatever the hell you did, you know, then
you
that...
around and look cool or whatever hipsters do.
Yeah, and or not dance or do whatever my son tells me kids do now that I don't want to know about. No, I wouldn't say
all
that.
All I gotta say is I'm glad that Rogers does not have anything of a dance other than his little jump up in the air, which...
Yeah.
Is that Super Mario or is that Street Fighter or what?
That's a Super Mario, definitely.
Or his belt, because it's like, you know, those are already teetering on just dorky enough.
I love him when he's dorky.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Magic Mike dance. But Matthews was back. He had two sacks. It was amazing.
He did very well.
And I was expecting him to be rustier than he was. It's like he never missed a beat, and he came back with some ferocity and just pounded Cutler into the ground.
Yeah, but he probably could have come back like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and they held him out. That's probably why he had so much energy, and he seemed to be, you know, exactly at 100%.
Yeah, and they won without him, which going into the playoffs is not going to be the case. They are not going to win without him. So I'm glad Mike let him heal up, but boy, it was so good to see him back. And he went out for a few series. He would mm-hmm. come in and go out. But then he seemed to be in all the time later. So I think he got his strength back. I think he's healthy, and they all need to be. And I hope we have Woodson back next week.
Ooh, that was my question. Don't you feel like the kids are playing so good that they're just going to try to keep Woodson out? I feel like if Woodson's shoulder even heals, McCarthy's going to like trip him in the hallway. Or, you know, like try to sit on his shoulder until it snaps, or run him over in the car in Lambo or something. He's going to be like, oh, sorry, Charles. Sorry about that.
What I see them doing with Woodson is playing him like a linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they could do that just as safety in their, like, nickel package, right? Or like
I think they're doing great. You've got Casey Hayward just having a phenomenal
year. Awesome.
But I think they still lack the leadership that they have.
Right.
When Woodson's on the field, he really does see the plays evolve. And I think he's got some really great insight into that. And I think he's got the maturity that kind of brings all of these guys in the line and I think raises their performance up. That said, I think we are really in a good position once he starts to phase out. For good, I think we have a very good secondary that's really maturing well. Sammy Shields had just a phenomenal day, and I love the karmic payback today of the flags went the other way for once.
Finally, I mean, at first it went towards Shields, which just that I thought that was a bad call.
What do you got?
And then,
face mask.
Yeah, he got face mask, and they called it on him. And I'm like. Yeah.
That was the dumbest call all day.
Oh,
and all the people that were bitching about Ashley Jeffrey or whatever the hell his name is getting those calls against him. The only reason the Bears were in a position to score was because of two interference calls. They didn't earn any of those yards. He just threw it up for grabs.
Oh, it sure tech wasn't Cutler's accuracy, that's for certain.
No.
Right.
And Jeffrey was totally offensive pass interference. I mean, those calls were so accurate.
Yeah.
There were some bad calls today, but that one was – those were right on.
But
they really
what happened with Jeffrey is what happened to Shields early in the year. You get labeled early in a game that you're interfering, and they're going to over-scrutinize you the rest of the game.
Right.
Well, you know, the thing I thought was funny is after the first one they called on Shields, Mikey Mack got kind of really annoyed and went out and talked to the refs.
Yeah,
and all
tells
of a sudden it changed.
Yeah,
and I thought, wow, we never get away with that. We never get to do they never listen. So McCarthy was really, he was really peeved.
But what did you think about, I wonder what judge it was that McCarthy talked to, because remember, it was either the second or the third one, it was the touchdown that they called back. The judge that was standing right there in front of the foul didn't call anything. It was like the back judge that was in the back of the end zone. He was like waiting for him to throw a flag, and he never did, so he threw it. Did you notice that?
Yeah, that's right. Because it was a really late flag.
Yeah,
you're right.
And it's and it's something that.
Are you joking? You're not going to throw. You're not going to throw the flag until he extends his arm.
Yep.
You know, I think it proves the fact that the replacement refs really did suck, but we didn't trade up that much.
No, I mean the refs.
And look at Hockley tonight during the Sunday night game. That
what?
Long explanation
what
that. I think I'm officially too ADD to follow. Like, what?
I definitely didn't follow.
I sat there and literally went back and forth like a ping pong ball. I was like, really? No, really? No. What just happened? I was like, squirrel.
I felt like I had a stroke, and it's like, what language are you talking in? Because I don't understand any of it.
I hope that somebody on the internet will, like, take that, like, you know, like quality, like 5 minutes of perplexed places, and like, dub, like iron, the like Japanese version of Iron Chef, like sound in the background, you know, all those guys talking, and have Harbaugh like all puzzled, and Belichick all pissed off, and Brady screaming with just like Japanese in the background. That'd be hilarious.
Okay, better yet. How about that girl that was competing for Miss Teen South Carolina from a couple of years ago? And I think such as the Iraq.
Oh, yeah.
I think maybe the Hitler scene from Inglourious Basterds might be really good.
No, that's Downfall.
And that's been done so many times.
Yes, but it's still, it's like Brett Favre said, you should have done this sooner. It's still funny.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Wow, I don't think friend. Someone had a great point on Twitter today. It's like the refs should be fined for crappy calls, and maybe that would motivate them to do better.
Yes, I agree.
There is a grading system that they don't get. Basically, their performances are graded, and the best ones go to the playoffs, and that's how they make more money, right?
Yeah.
So if you're really, there's only an incentive to be good, but there's really not a penalty to be bad other than you just don't get to go in the playoffs.
That's a good point.
But you know what? That's never going to happen because they just had their deal made with the NFL this past year.
Yeah.
So when is their contract up? When do you get to readdress stuff like that? Because there really needs to be accountability for the refs. We joke that the refs stink, but the refs really have stunk this year, and they have decided that the momentum of games.
No, Goodell got that, I thought. Didn't he give them their money, but then they gave him that extra crew that they keep trained so that they can throw in, they can replace guys that stink? Didn't they?
Do not even get me started on Goodell this week. Please don't get me started on the whole Tagliabue and Goodell.
Let's talk about it. It tangentially has to do with the Packers because Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
Whether he will admit to an unwieldy show or not, which that was my question, by the way, that he was a target during the Bounty Gate. And, you've got Drew Brees with his righteous indignation saying, acting like they were all exonerated. But yet he is the leader of that team who sat in that locker room and is pretending he didn't know anything about it.
Which he absolutely knew.
And this is the how dare you moment from Rich Chang. Yeah. How dare you? How dare you? But seriously, how dare you? How can you look Aaron Rodgers in the eye and call him a friend and then pretend that he knew nothing about people gunning for his head?
Yep. I had no idea this was happening. I had no idea that somebody was trying to rip the best friend's leg. Hello?
And how?
Well, you can't look at Aaron Rodgers in the eye unless someone's got a milk crate handy anyway.
I can. Oh, no.
Because
he's shorter. I thought you were talking Favre. It's like he's shorter than he appears on TV.
No.
But, I've lost all respect for him because he's so...
Yeah,
they're lying liars. I mean,
exactly.
Lying liars that lie.
And
all the coaches, got took their punishment. They all admitted to it. They sing like birds. and all the players are still, they're all unified trying to pretend it's like, you know.
Oh, we didn't do anything.
It's out. They've all, everybody squealed. Like, you're just making yourself look like fools.
That said, I hope Vilma goes forward with his lawsuit because it's like, let's lay it on the line. Let's see what you really did, Jonathan. You know, you're acting like you're a victim that's been smirched, that's a martyr, but let's lay it on the line. Let's show all the evidence in court.
I heard a theory that I kind of liked. I haven't been following all the details of the case, so if you guys know more about it, then you tell me that it's BS. But because Peyton wrote an email to Williams offering up some money, right, during the championship game to knock Favre out.
Mm-hmm. So, and Favre's face was just bruised up. I've never seen a quarterback that banged up before.
Oh, did you saw Favre's ankle? He took a picture of it.
Yeah, he tweeted out a picture of his ankle.
Yeah. Oh,
let me tell my theory.
I heard it
was a sports writer, too. I forget who it was. He was saying that he thinks that Peyton and Williams got a bunch of cash and gave it to Vilma and basically just had Vilma do like a little performance in the locker room to like give the rah-rah guys. So like any money that Vilma like presented in the locker room, it was from his coaches, and the coaches put him up to doing it.
Oh, so it was laundered through Vilma. Nice.
Yeah.
Well, and I
more
will
than
say...
It was like, more than it was a show that like Vilma didn't have 10 grand and put it on a table
but,
to anybody,
right.
That it was like a performance, basically.
And I will say, I wrote when this first all came out that I felt for the players when we signed Hargrove, because, you know, when coaches are in this position and they're trying to tell you, you can do this, you can hit people, we'll pay you more money, and they know their careers are limited. I wrote about it on Pocket Doppler. And I feel for them on that front. That said, I do not think the players should get off with no punishment. I'm horrified at Roger for this. I can't imagine why. I don't understand that Roger overstepped his bounds or whatever. That's fine. But there's no consequences for these guys? None?
But at the same time, Hargrove's career is pretty much over. Vilma, you know, can they give him 8 extra games back or whatever, how long he was suspended?
Yeah, they all have been punished. There is a punishment. They just aren't going to do anything else.
But they're going to get paid for the time
they got paid.
Oh, they're
going to
get their money back?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, they're getting their money back.
I think
they are. They weren't suspended, even though they were suspended.
Exactly, and that's my biggest point.
What about the guys that are out of the league because of it now?
Who?
Hargrove?
Yeah, Hargrove hasn't been playing with anybody. He wasn't collecting paychecks these past 8 weeks.
He'll get picked. He'll get his money back, and he'll get picked up by another team.
But if he's good enough.
No, I doubt it.
If he's good enough.
That's not
not saying he's good enough. But
that's not going to happen.
There's also talk of Goodell walking back Peyton's punishment, saying, yeah, you can't reinstate him until the end of the football year, which would be March 1st. And now they're saying after he's thinking of caving. Granted, they're probably not going to go to the playoffs, so it's like a little token gesture of we'll let you back at the end of regular season. Wow. Did Goodell suddenly lose all of his spine? What?
He lost all of his spine the moment that he did not do anything about Favre texting his
private parts. Hardly.
Don't even start with me, Chang.
Right. First of all, that was
Don't even start.
You brought it up.
Alleged.
There's no proof that Favre did that. First of all, zero.
Uh-huh.
And if there was any proof, then it all would have come out.
Uh huh.
All right. Just a cautionary tale to all guys out there with itty bitty.
Please don't.
Because itty bitty peenies on the internet are still
are not attractive. Yes.
Brett Favre wears a size 16 shoe, all right? You really think...
That has nothing to do with anything else, and you know it.
Socks.
Amen.
Hey, wait a second.
Well said, Kelly.
Both of you are fired.
I can't think that you think Roger Goodell lost credibility because some little...
That was...
Some
no,
little
that,
show that was begging for it got a picture
that
from
was
Favre.
Begging for what?
Okay.
Yeah, she wanted it, dude. She wanted it.
Okay, Kelly, just kill him.
She was giving volunteer massages, giving him his number and stuff. Give me a break.
This was my idea, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was your idea. Good luck with that. Honestly, I think Goodell lost a lot of credibility in not walking his talk on concussion safety. There's like all this lip service and absolutely nothing on safety. You've got the NFL really pushing back against the Players Association, and I blogged about this over at Pocket Doppler, where the Players Association wants independent reviewers, whether it's a neurologist, a primary care physician, or an athletic trainer that has nothing to do with the team, translation, no one on the take, that can independently flag a player saying, you're hurt, we need to evaluate you right now. And you've got the head of the concussion neck and head, whatever the name of the committee is, saying, oh, that would be a bad idea. That has nothing, that would destroy continuity of care. Well, you know what? Continuity of care and baseline exams come into play in return to play. They have nothing to do with, are you impaired this very moment? And for your own safety, should we take you out of the game? Because right now, the NFL is still relying on self-reporting. And if you don't remember what the score was 5 minutes ago, do you really think that you're going to self-report, yeah, I think I have a concussion? That's like a drunk driver being the one to flag himself, or, yeah, I probably shouldn't drive right now. I've had too much to drink. It's insane. And Goodell has lost all credibility because he's all talk and zero action.
Well, this is what I think. I think that he is, all the guys that are suffering concussions in the meantime aren't going to be helped by it at all, but I think that they're going to eventually in the next couple years, oh my God. Sorry.
Okay. Excellent.
I think
the finger?
Yeah. No. Yeah. Albie just bit. Oh my God, that hurt.
Right. I love Albie.
The only thing better than live radio is still the disasters of recorded radio.
I think that they are going to make everybody wear the special concussion helmet that they keep improving on. Rogers has like the second or third like generation of the concussion helmet, right?
And why are they so double top secret about it, where they're covering up any identifying information? Obviously, it's not a Riddell helmet because they're covering up all the labels. But he won't talk about it. The team won't talk about it. It's double top secret. Like, you know, is there a nuclear arm in there that we just can't know about or something?
Indeed.
But they're also going. They're slowing down the game a little bit because they're going to make everybody wear all the pads starting next year. Like, you know, like when we were kids, you had to put on that little knee pad, like in the hole of your pants, and like a shin pad and thigh pads and hip pads and all that stuff. Guys are going to have to wear all that stuff starting next year, and they're going to have to wear a certain size shoulder pads. That's going to slow them down considerably.
2 weeks ago, they did a football life on Barry Sanders, and that's not that long ago.
No.
It was within a decade, and they showed that picture of him going out of the tunnel, and his shoulder pads looked like they're about 6 feet wide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
you're right.
Guys are going to start wearing that stuff. And I just emailed John about this, so you guys are going to see it on the internet later.
Excellent.
But I have a cool rule change that I think, because you know they came up with that, he leaked that little rule change that was crazy about the punts instead of kick returns and stuff to reduce concussions. Did you read about that?
I remember it was Goodell coming out with it.
Yeah, so they're going to leak little stupid stuff like that that's crazy extreme so that they end up compromising on something else, right? Tell me what you think about this. You know how in basketball, zone defense used to be illegal? You had to play man-to-man, you couldn't like hand check and do all that kind of stuff, and they just changed it a couple years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how far-fetched is it for football to regulate defensive formations? What if they made defenses play man-to-man instead of zone? So nobody was sitting back waiting for somebody to come into their space and just rocking them when they weren't looking. You make every guy run with an offensive player, runs with a defensive player, or defensive runs with offensive player.
That's actually a really good idea.
So everybody, you know, guys are still going to get hit, but they'll expect it. They'll have a dedicated defender, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're not getting cold clocked out of the blue.
Right. Well, one of the things I saw yesterday in college football with my team, my alma mater, Nevada, they played Arizona in the New Mexico New Mexico Bowl. And the thing that I know, I can't talk. So the thing that pissed me off is at one point, Cody Fajardo, who's the quarterback, who I think is going to be even better than Kaepernick, and I am just saying, he got hit by two guys helmet to helmet. They both hit him with their helmets at the same time. And thank God the kid got up and he could walk around and he could, you know, he could actually operate, because I thought, I was like, oh, because he laid down and I went, oh, dude, you're finished.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a bad idea.
Yeah,
I really
that
isn't
crazy, right?
No, not at all.
It wouldn't be people bellyaching of, oh, you've taken away the masculinity of the game. It would still be a hard-hitting game, but
right.
I think
it would
less
be
of a... It would be. I think it would add an extra challenge. And honestly, the Packers, I think, do better on man than in zone, because they seem to have – they give too much cushion in zone. So I think it would benefit the Packers. Yeah, I think when you start getting these fans talking about, oh, you're sacrificing the game, you're ruining the game, this bloated sense of entitlement, it just turns my stomach, because, like I said before, I grew up next to a Hall of Famer that played in the 30s, and back in the 80s, at the end of his life, he was walking with two canes, because I know he had no cartilage in his knees.
Yeah.
Well, sure.
And
you look at
Jim McMahon, who can't remember his wife's, can't recall
right.
his wife's name. Yeah, I still
right.
hope that doesn't happen to Aaron Rodgers in the future.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that is, people are so funny when they talk about all the rule changes and they become like the grumpy old man. But anytime there's a Thursday night game that's 9-6, everyone's on Twitter like, oh, this game is terrible. Why do they have these Thursday night games? There's no offense involved. It's like, well, all those like manly football rules that you're bitching about the other 6 days of the week, this is what the football game would look like, you know?
Right. Yep. Absolutely true.
Yeah, it's silly. It's like, would you like your ice cream too cold, or would you like your shoelaces tied too tight or too loose?
Yeah.
Yeah, I really think, and that's the hard part about the game, I don't want it to turn into something that isn't interesting to watch. And I thought Mike Pingle did a really good job of writing about the kickoff rule, changing that last week. Mm-hmm. I really think that they really have to look at that and say, here's how we can keep the game interesting. That's great. But not here's how we eliminate all the interest out of the game. The fear I have is that Goodell is looking at it going, well, let's eliminate this, and this.
Yeah, he's thinking about it from like a liability and business.
A financial standpoint.
He's looking at it at a profit margin standpoint, which is why he's done nothing on concussion safety.
Exactly.
Because you suddenly have a bunch of second string quarterbacks that are not named Colin Kaepernick playing for the NFL, and suddenly your moneymakers that fill the stands aren't there, and it becomes a less interesting game from a marketing standpoint. Who's going to want to buy whoever the backups for the Bears jersey number? You know, was it Coleman? Is that his name? No.
Jason Campbell.
Campbell.
Nobody want to buy a Jason Campbell jersey.
Nobody.
You know what? We can talk till we're blue in the face about player safety, but until profit margins are taken off the table in that discussion, I don't see much change happening.
No, I don't either. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, but the players have to take some responsibility for it also, because they want – all they're thinking about is making sure that they get big paychecks while they're playing. And they don't think about anything
for
when they're retired.
When
they're 50 years old and they can't walk to the doctor, then
right.
start crying about
yep.
Like all the veteran payments and retirement benefits and stuff like that.
I think a great example of that is the Player Association having an absolute bird this week about the use of Toradol, which is a pain reliever, and how the players have to sign a waiver if they agree to take it. And it's it can affect me health-wise now and later. And the thing about Toradol, it's in the same class of anti-inflammatories as ibuprofen, but also as Vioxx and Celebrex. Vioxx was taken off the market a couple of years ago because of its link between that and increased risk of heart attacks, which I think, you know, right. I have not looked at the paperwork for the waiver that they signed to get Toradol. Is they're worried about, yeah, it is a COX-2 inhibitor like any anti-inflammatory, aspirin and ibuprofen included. But, you know, if you're using it at quite frequently for your aches and pains, yeah, it's a great pain reliever. It works like morphine without the addictive potential, but there are long-term risks. And,
right.
yeah, they're thinking immediate results. We want this relief now. But, again, they're having a cow about, you know, we're looking out for your safety later in life.
Right.
Well, it's probably way too nerdy for a podcast for anyone to follow. I apologize. It went off on a third tangent.
No, I think that's a really key point. You know, the fact is, back in the day when Jerry Kramer and all those guys played, they did not understand the long-term effects that all of this has. And now they do. And I think Roger is positioning himself. I think the NFL is positioning themselves to try and protect against lawsuits. And that the thing is, it's so stupid, is let's do the best thing we can for these guys, protect them from getting hurt as much as we can, but football's a violent game.
Yeah.
It's going to be forever.
Well, and if they had a better attitude and welcomed them into the commissioner's office and he just had like an open checkbook there or created some kind of program, then they wouldn't, you know, become litigious. If they
right.
felt like
right.
they could come to the league with their problems, their health problems
yep.
that they got
yep.
from playing football, you know, like if, when you have 9, 10, 11 billion dollars a year, I think you can afford to, you know, pay for the few dozens of guys or even hundreds of guys that are still around and they have to go to the doctor every month, you know, like it's not
yeah.
that big of a deal.
Yeah,
but
they can.
They need to kind of consider what the military does with what they relate, you know, service-related illnesses and injuries that where they can be covered for life for that. You know,
right.
That, is that a model that the Players Association should look at?
I
yeah,
think so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But
I
that's
absolutely
my point.
Think so.
It's on the players, and they don't want to do it as much as the league doesn't. Wasn't it,
yeah.
wasn't
and
it
you're
Drew
right.
Brees that was talking about retired players saying, like, why should I pay for their, like, screwed up investments and stuff like that.
Yeah, but you know what? Some of the older players, they would absolutely be saying, we need to do this right now, because the guys in their 50s and 60s, Drew Brees isn't done playing yet. Drew Brees hasn't had enough knocks in his head to get it.
Yeah, but that's my point. But they're the ones that negotiate.
Right.
Current players.
Oh, I agree. But the retired players are trying to influence them, and they should. Because they need to think, Drew Brees needs to think about in 10 years he'll be retired.
Well, why don't they give retired players a seat at the table when they're negotiating?
I wish they would.
They need to.
I wish they would.
They need to. Speaking of retired
players, Jermichael Finley.
Oh!
Great segue.
He's about to be retired. I'm thinking.
Were you just about to do that same thing, Kelly? Were we just
no,
like?
I was actually going to talk about Troy Aikman belly aching about.
Oh.
Yeah, that wasn't a dirty hit. You know, on the.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, Aikman, you of all people with your 10 million concussions.
I know. He had to quit the game because of dirty hits.
Yeah.
I could have
slapped him.
Yeah.
Between him and Buck humping the Bears' leg the entire day, I just wanted to turn them off. Unfortunately, I've got satellite-type television at my house, and there's about a 10-second delay between the radio and satellite. I couldn't even listen to
yep.
and Larry and get to sync up.
Yeah,
and that's exactly my problem.
It was like they overly prepared for the Bears stepping up in this game to like keep their
yep.
playoff chances alive, and they're like, the Packers are winning. What do you got?
My favorite bit of Joe Buck at the end of the first quarter, just kind of gloating of, ha-ha, the Bears have held the Packers to nothing. End of first quarter. Like, well, dude, did you see how many points the Bears scored at that point? That'd be a big fat goose egg as well.
Yeah.
So I have a question for both of you, and because I get some hatred for my Joe Buck loathing, I really hate Joe Buck, and it's not just because he's Joe Buck. It's because I sincerely believe he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about, and then there's Troy Aikman, who hates the Packers. So you kind of get I'm just saying. Am I crazy? Am I crazy?
You go first, Kelly.
Didn't Buck come from baseball? And it's kind of like they settled with him. It's like he was in baseball, and then they tried to have him replace JB on the on the pregame show, and he sucked so hard there that they replaced him with Benefit. It's like
I forgot
about
that part.
Where did the other JB go? He got farmed out pretty quick. Oh crap! He's with Troy Aikman, and now he is the idiot Pat Summerall of this generation, minus the clinking glass.
Hey. I like Pat Summerall.
Oh my God.
Back off.
At least Pat Summerall could do color commentary. Joe Buck just blathers about who he hates.
Exactly.
This
like,
might be
a football.
So you just Colleen did actually. I never thought about why I don't dislike these guys, and I feel like you might have just hit the nail right on the head. I grew up watching baseball. So the voice of all these big games, or like the Fox games that were on like on Sunday, Saturday mornings and all that stuff, it was Joe Buck. And just in my brain, so I grew up with like Vin Scully and Joe Buck, and now everyone shits on Berman. I don't dislike Berman. I still watch those highlights every Sunday night. It's like that's
Steve
football
Berman,
shit.
You know, it's
yeah.
Taken with you, man.
So, I mean, and when I'm watching games, I'm mostly on my computer or looking at Twitter and stuff like that where I'm not like looking for the announcers to tell me anything about the game. It's just kind of the soundtrack to the game, you know, their voices, the background noise. And it doesn't bother me at all. It makes me think when I hear Joe Buck and Troy Aikman's voice, I'm like, oh, Fox thinks this is an important game. It kind of like brings some weight to the game, I think.
Yeah, but that's like having Bob Uecker announce for the NFL. It's like, yeah, people would recognize him. He's a crowd favorite. But could he effectively do it? And I think he'd get annoying pretty fast to the crowd that's not used to him announcing baseball.
Yeah, maybe.
I love Bob Uecker.
I don't know. But do you listen to the games and be like, oh, why doesn't he tell me what formation this is or what number that player is? I've never seen that player before. Give me some like background info from the player interviews. Like, who cares? I never listen to any of that stuff.
However, what really annoyed me today, and this is the first—maybe it's the first time I've noticed it happen—because I go to so many home games, was the little tag with the name and the number they put like right in the middle of the screen at the beginning of a play. It's like, take that off the screen. I'd like to watch football. Thank you.
Oh yeah,
that was annoying. I agree.
And that was almost as bad as John Madden's X's and O's, just kind of completely covering.
Well, I was going to say, that little tag is better than them circling this guy and be like, oh, like, well, here's Wes Welker here, and, oh, Randall Cobb's lining up in the backfield with a big-ass circle. Like, at least they just put a little name tag. Like, hi, my name is.
But I
hey, my name is.
get Buchan and Aikman. It's like, you know, between the incompetence and the absolute disdain they have for the Packers, they're just I can't listen to them.
Yeah, I feel, well, I was just about to say, as long as the announcers get, like, the names right and stuff like that, I don't mind, but didn't Aikman call Randall Cobb, like, Randy a bunch of times, or what did he call him?
Yeah,
like,
he did.
Like, Chad or something? He, like, got his name totally wrong.
like, come on, dude.
The CBS guys are the worst, though. I hate it when, because I don't watch a lot of AFC games, so if the Packers ever play an AFC opponent, it's on CBS, and I have to listen to them, they are terrible. I hate those guys.
And let me just be honest, most television announcers calling a game I can't stand anyway, because Brian Billick, is he any better? Not really.
Oh, man, Brian Billick is terrible. Can you imagine
that
guy was a head coach? Everyone thought he was a genius head coach, and he goes in there like a blathering idiot 3 hours every Sunday.
Give him a microphone, and he drops like 50 IQ points.
you know who I thought was really good? Danny Cannell, and you guys might not know who he is, but I do. He called the Nevada game yesterday, which sucked at the end. But he did a really good job. I was really impressed. La la la. Oh, thank you, both of you. Okay, should we tie this up now? Thank you.
Oh, you're mad? We picked on you a little bit, so now you're mad, you want to go to bed?
Yes, I am mad. I want to go. I am going to take my ball and go home because my team should have won. And you know what? The quarterback from my old team just won tonight, despite the fact I didn't want him to. So screw you, Tom Brady. Screw you, Giselle. That's
nice.
All. Thank you.
So anyway.
We didn't even talk about Finley yet.
Well, okay. Talk about family.
Great. We're all trolling Colleen. We might as well talk about the trolls of the game. You know, we have Brandon Marshall.
Who do you think McGinn talked to? Honestly, who do you think it was? And then I'm going to ask you, why do you think it was?
Here's my midnight confession. My midnight confession is I don't like Bob McGinn very much. I know.
What?
Man waffles. Go back and read his stuff.
He's a waffler?
He waffles.
I think that he...
I did not disagree with him today, by the way.
He's a gracious waffler. He admits, don't you think?
No.
I feel like he says when he's wrong about something.
But, you know, what's really interesting about this leak that was on a weekend is, one, the Packers never leak personnel stuff like this. Because that's just Ted Thompson's style. So
that was weird.
It was very weird, and you don't leak stuff like this as you're heading to the playoffs. So, you know, there's the camp saying that this is a way just to light a fire under Finley's butt. But, you know, I don't know. It sounds like he really is getting sent out. He's going to be sent packing one way or another. Who do you think the leak is, Colleen?
I would not doubt that it could be McCarthy. Actually, I think it's somebody high up.
But as regular readers of McGinn, who are the front office people that he normally talks to? I feel like he mostly talks to scouts.
Does
he get access to the coaches and the general manager a lot?
Elliott Wolf. Just saying.
Could it have come from the locker room itself?
It absolutely could have.
Does he go? He goes into the locker room?
No. He has contacts in the locker room.
Because, you know, you look at Finley, and he's been playing locker room politics all season long.
Yep.
You know, the him versus me type crap that he's been pulling with Rodgers, whether, you know, it's as big as we think it is or as little as we think it is, it obviously has been going on to the point of where you know, you've got his agent dropping bombs of, oh, we question Rodgers' leadership, blah, 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 and Finley doesn't backtrack it at all. Suddenly Finley is Rodgers' best friend, which really tells me the writing's on the wall, and he's trying to play nice because he's already knowing he's getting shipped out. But wouldn't it be an interesting, and I'm not going to mention any names, wouldn't it be interesting if the leak came to finally show people how playing locker room politics really does work?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what about the other thing? Because this is the same paper that sat on quotes for they sat on quote for like a week, right? And then they released it during the bye when, you know, there was no Packer news. And to say that they released this during the weekend it's football and it was the Sunday paper. So, you know, everybody picks up the Sunday paper and reads it before the football games, or at least everybody that I know that's worth a damn. So it is kind of like, it's not that it was hidden, it's kind of like prominent news that it happened on a Sunday morning. What are the chances that McGinn's been sitting on this quote for, you know, God knows how long? And
this could be in the works for weeks.
That's my point. That's my point about him. I mean, Bob McGinn is a talented writer. He's awesome. He's got, you know, he's covered the Packers for years. He's really good. But, yes, I think you're very right. He could have been sitting on it for weeks. I have no doubt.
And look at, like I said, go back to Finley's behavior. Around before the bye, it was still very much an acrimonious, I have a chemistry problem with the quarterback. He's really being passive aggressive, but suddenly he's Rodgers' best friend. You know, there had to have been a come to Jesus, come to my office right now, we need to talk now, Finley, come with me now type talk.
Yep.
And, you know, the shape up or ship out. And I've been joking all season, if you're going to get into a pissing match with the reigning league's MVP, guess what? It's not the league's MVP that's getting shipped out.
Right.
Exactly.
But when did this turn into the friggin' Green Bay Lakers? Like, why are all these people, like, playing politics and talking to the press with all these little quotes? It's like, since when are any of these players like this?
Well,
and
don't forget,
there's the Donald Driver speculation before.
Jermichael has always been like that.
Yeah,
always.
A kid.
Yeah,
he's
at a certain point, I don't give him any space.
He's 5 years.
He's not a kid.
Is he, what, 5 years into playing now, which would put him,
yeah,
you know,
baloney,
the same age Rodgers was when he took over the entire team. You know, you
yep.
can only get the kid excuse going for so long when you really start to expect the maturity to kick in. And I think a good contrast, and someone brought this up on Twitter today, would be James Jones. 2 years ago, a year ago, he was bellyaching that he wasn't getting the ball enough. He was whining to the point where, like, oh, God, just trade him away. We can't stand him.
Yep.
He wanted the ball.
Yep.
He wanted the ball. Well, he knuckled down. You don't hear from him anymore. There's no drama. And suddenly, he is one of the go-to receivers.
And he's got the ball. And he catches it. He's amazing this year.
Yeah, but listen to what...
above the politics.
Yeah.
But listen to what you just said. What was that difference? 2 years? Like, how old... James Jones was... He's a year older than I am. So James Jones is 28.
Richard...
Michael Finley is what, 24, 25?
Yeah, and he has how many years in the NFL?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm not buying it.
But you were just...
Sorry.
You got done saying that James Jones was a pain in the ass 2 years ago, and now
but
he's a model citizen.
And so was your Michael Finley, and he hasn't fixed it.
Well, Finley was probably even the year he was hurt, being Sideshow Bob with the stupid Super Bowl photo.
Yeah.
Which I actually kind of agreed with him on. I'll give him that.
But the delivery of look at me.
How it works.
I'm not playing the game, but I'm the most important person here. Look at me. Drove me just bananas.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
So, I liked JerMichael in a way. I mean, like Bill Johnson, we talked about last week. Bill Johnson thinks that we all want him to fail, and I don't want him to fail. I want him to succeed. And he played pretty well tonight. He really did. Good for him.
But
I am really happy for him.
That was the most, it wasn't the most telling because it doesn't really reveal who it was, but it was the most interesting part about the quotes in that book was that they weren't talking about how the front office or the coaching staff or the team captains were sick of JerMichael talk. They were talking about how they're sick of him underperforming and that he basically sucks this year. He's not an elite tight end. He's not
until today, I would agree.
Didn't they rank him at 22nd in the league as far as tight ends go?
Right, but who would go to McGinn and say that to him? That doesn't make any sense.
Which makes me wonder if it's personal.
Right.
Oh, well, yeah. At a certain point, I think it all gets personal.
But you know what? It's hard to send somebody packing to spin it to the press that we're sending somebody packing because they're a pain in the ass. You can easily spin it as, well, he tackles about as effectively as a bag of shipping peanuts.
Blocks? Yeah, hell yeah.
And offensively, I don't mind if they get away from their 2009-2010 offense and slow it down and put more blocking tight ends and run a bunch of stuff out of the backfield with Cobb, then you don't need Finley anyway. I just think that the story is weird, the way that it was leaked and the quotes that were given and the information that was presented, basically saying Finley's a dog, he's not worth the headache, he's not worth the money, he shouldn't even be on the team, is the way that I read it.
Right, and I agree with you. I think that the thing that's ultimately the truth is he doesn't fit in, and it doesn't matter how he doesn't fit in.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard stories about his off-field behavior. Obviously we've seen his on-field behavior, and it really doesn't matter. If he performs, it's great. And today, like I said, he did not play badly, but I think they're kind of tired of him, and I totally understand why.
I understand why they're tired of him. I can understand why they did a 2-year deal. Now, last year I kept thinking, give him a 1-year deal, have him prove himself. Well, you get big money if you behave. And
if you don't.
And if you don't, we can cut you.
Mm-hmm.
They gave him both the carrot and the stick last year. Here's your wad of cash for 2 years. But you have to be a team player. And you know what? I think the biggest problem with Finley comes down to that, you know, they always talk about there's no I in team. Well, there's also the cliche, there's no I in shut up and do the work.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to start, you know, the locker room histrionics of I have chemistry problems when you're not going to be accountable for your own performance, you can only blame other people for so long. where, you know, people are just going to finally get sick of you, don't block, you run sloppy routes, and you drop the ball. Oh, and by the way, you're a complete pain in the ass. You know, there's really no strike for him, you know, anything in his favor right now.
It kind of builds up.
But how can they throw Finley under the bus for underperforming and doing all this stuff when he's at least catching some balls? He always creates a matchup problem, but then they defend Mason Crosby to the death when that guy only has one job and he can't put the ball through the upright.
I don't agree with that one either. Like I said, I think Crosby needs to be fired. Sorry.
But Mason Crosby isn't trying to make enemies in the locker room and making people, you know, that line in the sand saying you're either with Rodgers or you're with me and you can't be either way.
Yeah, but you know where Mason Crosby is making enemies? St. Norbert.
Whatever.
Oh, dang. Bad boy. Bad. So, we should be looking ahead to next week. What do you guys think about next week's game?
The Titans
game.
I'm going to the game with my little brother. Yay!
I wish I was going to the game with you. I am mad.
My baby brother is going to whine the entire time because he now lives down south. He's going to be like, oh, it's cold.
It's so cold.
Oh, I think my balls have frozen off. I swear to God, the South turns people into green Paul.
What time is tomorrow's game at? Is it in the morning?
Or next week? It's a noon.
It's
a
noon next
game.
Week. I'm sorry.
Granted, the ticket does say it could flex. I have not heard any
I don't
otherwise. And considering they're playing the Titans, and like honestly, who is the quarterback for the Titans? I haven't followed them all
the
time.
Matt Hasselbeck?
Yes, I think it
so
is.
Hard.
Mr. Hasselbeck.
Oh, can he say we're gonna take the ball and we're gonna
nail in the snow? Yes. Which is exactly what I am so waiting for Russell Wilson to say that. I tell you right now. Wait. Oh, we're going to take the ball and we're going to score. It's like, yep, Russell, just say it.
Honestly, he sounded like Eddie Murphy when he was dressed up as a white guy in the 80s. I like it.
He did. You're right.
Well, I guess. So they have to win because they're still going for the number two seed and we'll be playing before anybody else that's ahead of us could possibly lose.
And
Right. Who
are the 49ers playing next week? I don't recall.
Oh,
I think they're playing Seahawks.
Okay, so is it okay if I cheer for the 49ers next week? Because I'm really struggling with this whole 49ers cheering thing. It's really bugging me.
I would rather
me.
Cheer for the 49ers than for Pete Carroll any day. The fact that he's going for it and jacking up scores and running fake punts when he was up by like 6,000 points tonight was really classless.
And then he
regrets it afterwards. Like, oh, I regretted the fake play trying to jack up the score. No, you didn't. You were a dick.
You're an ass. Let's face it. I'm really torn on the whole Kaepernick thing. So, you know, I'm asking for guidance. So,
we need to look at the standings after this. And next week, you have to root for mathematically whoever we need to lose to move up. So if that means rooting for the Niners or the Seahawks or the Giants or the Redskins or the Cowboys or whoever it is, you know, we got to root for the people to win.
Well, the standings after tonight, you still have the number one seed being Atlanta, and they just spank the living daylights. Ha-ha, Eli. Ha.
That,
out of the Giants.
Manning face.
That locks,
you know,
that locks the Giants out of the playoffs right now.
Which is just... Yes. Great karmic payback. So yes, you've got the Falcons in the first seed, and I think they're totally beatable.
Yeah, and the 49ers are playing the Seahawks. In the interest of full disclosure, just so you guys know, the 49ers are playing the Seahawks next week.
The number two seed, which is only a half a game ahead of us because of that tie, is the 49ers.
Yeah.
So because
and they beat us head to head, so we can't finish.
No,
half a game. Half a game.
They did not beat us. No, they did not.
Well, according to the NFL standings, they did.
Well, but the 49ers do have that half a game lead on us because. No, wait.
Yeah, they have a half a game lead, but it's really like a full
head-to-head,
game.
Head-to-head. But they also have that. Right. But they also have that tie. So if they lose, regardless, we go ahead of them.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's doable. I just don't want the Titans game to be a trap game. The thing is, I honestly, and I'm not kidding, don't know much about the Titans this year because they stink and I have not followed them at all.
And they do. They really do stink.
They really do stink.
They're not very good.
No.
So we don't want this to be one, a trap game, and two, where idiot mistakes get people hurt.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think that they're in that mode because the team really wants the 2 seed. A few of them come out and talked about it, and I feel like they're motivated. And they're still going to be prepping as if a playoff spot is on the line, and it's not going to be like last year where the last 3 weeks like kind of didn't matter and they're just lollygagging. This time, all the games still matter, and I think that they'll play. They'll play full speed. I think that they'll do good. I feel like they're going out.
Hypothetically speaking, we win, the 49ers lose, we move into the second seed, heading into the Rodent Dome, the Hump Dome, whatever you want to call it in Minneapolis. Are the Packers dumb enough to sit Rodgers for that game again?
No, because they'd have to win that game too. Well, depending on what time it's played, because if they lose that game and then the Niners win at the same time, then the Niners just jump right back into the 2 seed.
Oh, that's true.
I agree.
And I don't think Rodgers would even allow himself to get benched for a game again because I think it had disastrous effects last.
Well, we talked about that. We need to wrap this up, kids. Do we want to do game predictions?
For next week?
Yes.
Packers 42 and the Titans 11.
Didn't he pick 42 last time?
I'm going to pick it until it works.
He probably did.
God, you're picking numbers like Ray Hoare.
All right, Kelly.
86. I think it's going to be a cautious game, which is what drives me nuts about McCarthy because, gosh darn it, the game's 60 minutes, not 45. He's going to, if we have a sizable lead, he's going to slow it up, which is going to slow down the pace of the game. So I'm going to say Packers 35 to 21.
All right.
Since I won a T-shirt last week,
gloating about this for the next 6 years.
Yeah.
It's kind of like I've gloated about winning the Pocket Doppler prognosticators for the last year. Yes, you're absolutely right.
Your heels there too, Colleen.
Yeah. Well, if you win, that's okay. If one of the boys wins, I'm really not happy. But I would say they always play down to their opponent, so I will say it's going to be 34-21.
Have you seen the Titans play? I don't think they've scored 21 points all year.
I'm just saying, dude, we played down to our opponent. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
Unfortunately.
You don't think that a healthy Clay Matthews against a statue Matt Hasselbeck is going to get, like, if they can score negative points in a football game, it will happen next week.
I'm not saying I want to win a T-shirt this week. I'm just saying
it's possible, but McCarthy, knowing that it's McCarthy, will play very cautious and very.
Well, he always does.
Well, especially since they want to give those running backs a bunch of reps. I mean, yeah, they might be running the ball 60% of the time, so that might keep the score down. But I don't think the Packers are going to be. I don't think they're going to almost lose. I mean, things can be competitive.
I hope not.
All right, so that music is queuing up right now.
All
right. This brings us to the end of another Out of the Pocket, and we didn't even get to gloat about Brandon Marshall. But if you're looking for post-game schadenfreude and the Bears fans eating their own young, I direct you to WindyCityGridiron.com for a good time. I'm Colleen. No, I'm not Colleen. I'm Kelly.
You're close.
For the Pocket Doppler Angels from PocketDoppler.com. The other dude is Richard Chang from StickFavorite.com. Tune in next week, and we'll be bringing you another episode of Out of the Pocket.
Thanks, ladies.
Thank you.
Bye.